A new AP poll out today shows that while only a third of Americans support President Obama's health care law, 75%, including 60% of people who identify with the Tea Party movement, want Congress and the president to replace Obama's law with something, which seems to mean Americans want some kind of federal plan. But can any plan work without the mandate that all or almost all Americans buy insurance? We may soon find out. We may know as soon as tomorrow when the Supreme Court may issue a ruling. There's about a week left in the Supreme Court session. So will they strike down all or part of the law? And what happens if they do? Today, we want to spend some time on a primer. But by the way, we're also keeping an eye on a vote in Washington on whether to hold Attorney General Eric Holder in contempt of Congress. And the defense in the Jerry Sandusky case has rested without Sandusky taking the stand in his own defense. We're going to keep an eye on all of this. But we start with Pam Bellick, health and science reporter for The New York Times, with our primer on Supreme Court possibilities. Pam, hello.
Hi, Robin. How are you?
I'm good. And we should mention something I didn't. Another possibility that the court could just decide not to decide because of that law which says that taxes can't be challenged until they go into effect, and the health care law has penalties that won't be enacted until 2015. But is there any thinking that the court will kick it down?
I think that most people feel that they will actually make a decision, that 1867 Anti-Injunction Act is not really going to be invoked here.
Okay. Well, then let's take a look at the big centerpiece of the Obama health care reform law, the individual mandate. It requires just about everyone have health care coverage. Opponents said the government can't make you buy a product or service. But the revenue accrued when everyone does have insurance, especially healthy people, pays for other requirements in the law, you know, including helping out the not-so-healthy people. So what happens if the individual mandate is struck down but the whole law is upheld?
Right. And most observers feel that the most likely scenario is that the individual mandate will be struck down, and possibly a few other provisions, but not the entire law. So part of our sort of hypothetical scenario depends on whether it's just the mandate or whether it's other things too. And, you know, unfortunately, it's kind of complicated because people have different predictions. Some of the people that I spoke with, some of the experts, said that it's not really going to be that much of a big deal if the mandate goes, because they feel that if some other provisions remain, including the establishment of these insurance exchanges like you have in Massachusetts,
right,
where there are subsidies for people who can't afford insurance at full price, that healthy people will, in at least some large numbers, you know, hop on the train and purchase insurance because it's a good deal. It's a better deal than what they have had before.
Really? I just want to stop you there because you're hearing that from people, and yet it sounds counterintuitive. You know, we're also hearing that the fear is if the individual mandate is dropped, then healthy people will flee the market if they don't have to buy
right.
insurance.
Exactly. And other people say exactly that what you'll end up doing is having, you know, more sick people flooding the market. Healthy people will stay out. And premiums will get higher and higher for those healthy people, causing even more healthy people to drop out of the market. And, you know, it's possible that that could happen. Two provisions that are considered very important that some people think are inextricably tied to the mandate. If the mandate goes, those will go. Other people, not so sure, are two of the most popular provisions, which are the requirement that insurers cover people regardless of whether they have a pre-existing condition or not, and a provision that basically requires them to charge similar rates for healthy and for sick people.
And by the way, I'm just going to jump in. The Obama administration argued that if the individual mandate is struck down, these other key provisions, the ones you just named, should be severed as well. That's the so-called severability. And seeming to say, how are you going to pay for requiring insurance companies to cover people with pre-existing conditions if you don't mandate that everyone buy insurance?
Yeah. It's, you know, it's going to end up being up to there's a few things that could happen. One is that I think there'll be a groundswell of activity, particularly by supporters of this law, but also people who are opposed to the law but support those provisions, and they're as you noted, there are a lot of people who are in that camp, to try to get Congress or the private markets take those steps anyway, because those are the things that people are most worried about. What happens to me if I'm sick? When, you know, what happens? I need to have insurance coverage when I'm sick. Yeah. So there could be that kind of thing happening anyway, or it could end up being up to states, because different states have different situations with their insurers, which with the size of their population, with how many uninsured they have, and there could be these sort of ad hoc efforts that start to take place. That will happen much more slowly than if the federal law remains intact. But several of the experts that I talked to said that there does seem to be a feeling of urgency here that at least some pieces of this healthcare problem need to be addressed.
Well, and we know, and by the way, we're talking with Pam Bullock of the New York Times. And Pam, we know that there are other requirements, and you just, you know, they are less and less costly, but they are still costly. Insurers would be required not to take away coverage if somebody becomes sick, not to put caps on coverage. Preventive care at no cost. They are required to cover services including immunizations, contraceptives, that was very controversial, mental health screening without co-pays or deductibles. Once the mandate goes, the individual mandate goes, how many of these go?
Well, again, it depends on how broad a swipe the court takes. You know, there's one school of thought that the court will say all of these things are so inextricably tied together that it all has to go, and there are others that see this as a very kind of surgical strike. But what I think is that if those provisions that you mentioned are threatened, and many of them are popular, the contraceptive coverage aside, you know, what even opponents say and what the Republicans say is that they want to find something to replace this law. It probably will not be a huge omnibus act like this Affordable Care Act, but it may take some time because, remember, most of these provisions weren't going to take effect until 2014 anyway, so there's a little bit of breathing room before Congress may feel that it needs to act. But there's likely to be bits and pieces of this either enacted by Congress, even the opponents of this law. They're likely to focus on some of these popular provisions. And also, I think there's going to be pressure on the private market and on hospitals and insurers to do something as well.
Well, we know that during the debate, during the Supreme Court hearings, some of the conservative judges seemed to indicate that they preferred the option of getting rid of the whole law. They didn't want to hollow out the law. As we said, even the Obama administration wanted to remove some of the provisions if the mandate was removed because they didn't feel it was flexible. But what about the things that are in place already? Some of the consumer provisions, I'm thinking of allowing children under 26 to stay on their parents' insurance. Some of these things are already happened. What happens if they're no longer required by law, if the whole law is thrown out?
Right. And of course, that children under 26 is a very popular provision. I think technically it would be overturned, but again, I think there will be an effort to, because particularly that one is so important to people, there's going to be, you know, some effort to continue that. You know, one thing we haven't talked about, Robin, is a part of the law that really would cover, you know, more than half of the people that we're talking about here, which is a Medicaid expansion.
Right.
And that that could cover, I think the estimates I've seen is about 17 million people. And that's a big deal. Most experts I've talked with say that there's really, you know, there's no reason from a legal perspective why that has to be tied to the mandate. So in other words, if the court strikes the mandate, the Medicaid expansion should still be able to go forward. But if the court strikes the entire law, that's a large number of people who remain uninsured, you know, very low income level, often really need to get basic health care, you know, and have been neglecting to do so. So that would kind of set things back, I think.
Well, you mentioned the expansion of Medicaid, which the court is considering separately. About 16, 17 million low-income Americans, anyone making up to 138% of the poverty line, would now be eligible. So that's all also being considered. But I'm looking, if the law is struck down, I'm looking at just the some of the other aspects of the law. We, you know, the individual mandate we mentioned, the idea that sick you couldn't deny someone coverage because they have pre-existing conditions, these state exchanges where people could shop around and get a better deal for insurance, or small business tax credits or subsidies for individuals to buy insurance, free preventive care. Surveys show that when people hear each of these individual things, they like a lot of them. You mentioned the having your child on your insurance. But it seems pretty clear that the Obama administration did not do a good job in selling it before the court, because we're hearing a third of legal experts saying in a poll just out today that they expect the mandate, the heart of the bill, to be overturned before the oral hearings, before the oral arguments before the court. It was just the opposite. They expected it to pass. What is your sense of how this will fall out politically, Pam? We only have a couple of minutes, but Republicans have said that if only part of the bill is invalidated, they're going to immediately force a vote to wipe out the rest of it. But we just heard of the other poll of Americans want some they want something. They want some federal plan. So how does this fall out politically?
Right. And I think, as you alluded to in your description here, I think a lot of it is going to be packaging, the way that the way that the parties sell their point of view, maybe a little bit more so than the actual substance. So if the whole thing gets upheld, or even I think just the mandate gets struck down, Republicans are going to move to repeal. You know, this is going to be something that they can use to mobilize their base. And but they're also going to be talking about how they're going to come back at it maybe in a year or two and incrementally try to replace this big act that was so unpopular with provisions, some of which are going to look very much like the ones that are in
exactly.
this act.
Well, yeah. And Democrats are pointing out that this whole concept came from the very conservative Heritage Foundation and, of course, the Republican governor here in Massachusetts. So it'll be fascinating to see how it plays out. Pam Bellick, health and science reporter for The New York Times. Also, we want to note author of Island Practice. You're getting raves for your book about a doctor on Nantucket Island right off our coast here. We'll have to talk to you about that at a later time. As we await the Supreme Court decision on President Obama's health care reform, Pam, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, we got another burner heating up. A committee in Congress is considering sanctioning Attorney General Eric Holder over those documents. But President Obama today issued his first executive order in a congressional dispute. How's that going to play out? Well, we will check in just 1 minute here and now.